Now, what are some beliefs about Satan? Well, some people believe that he's a myth. They think that he was just conjured up as some type of fairy tale. And so, you know, some people who were trying to scare other people, that they said that, you know, there's this evil character called the devil. And so now, you know where that comes from, right? You know where that comes from, right? Somebody says he's a myth. That comes right from the mouth of Satan. That's because that's what Satan wants you to believe. He wants you to believe that he's a myth.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of The Unholy Trinity. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Holy Trinity.
Names for Satan. Look at the names for Satan. Okay, the word Satan, Greek word is Satanas. It's used over 52 times. And it means adversary. Okay, so the word Satan actually means adversary. Then he's called the devil. This is used 35 times. The Greek word, you know, I used to like to watch them old cowboy movies, right? And they would talk about Diablos, right? Diablos. Who was Diablos? Diablos was the name of the devil, right? And that word actually means that he's a slanderer. He's a slanderer. Then look at some of these other names that we see for Satan, the prince of the power of the air. So that lets us know that he has power on this earth. Now, God has all power, right? Satan does have power, and he's able to work through the airways. He's the God of this age. You know, that means that, you know, again, God is still omnipotent. He's omniscient. God is all powerful, but Satan is the God of this age, you know, of this world. You know, just think of, man, it's crazy. All the killings that we have, you know, it's just unbelievable. You know, when you think about how people can just take a person's life. Well, you know, what's going on? I believe that behind this is Satan, is the devil. You know, you can say, you know, what you want to say, right? And you can explain it in all type of, you know, terminology that you want to explain it in. But the fact of the matter is that it's Satan behind it. You know, and look at the next thing. He's the king of death. You know, he's the king of death. He's the prince of this world, you know. So this lets us know just some of the descriptions of Satan. Lets us know what his work is. He's the ruler of darkness, you know. Just this, you know what, saints, you might not know it, but there's a whole lot of dark things going on in this world today. I mean, just there's a whole lot of darkness. You know, or the college that I went to, Fort Lewis College in Colorado, there was a lot of American Indians that went to the school. And you know, a big epidemic on the reservations today, you know, alcoholism is one. That's one. A lot of American Indians are dealing with alcoholism. But you know, another one is this whole issue of trafficking, that you think it's bad in the Black community. There are thousands of American Indian girls that are missing, you know, and they don't know where they're at. And so a lot of them believe that, you know, they've been kidnapped and they're caught up in this darkness, this underground world where Satan rules, and they're using these young girls for, you know, nefarious purposes, right? And so we see he's the ruler of darkness. Lucifer, that was the name that was given to him when he when God created him. Lucifer, the dragon, right? That's what we're looking at today. And we're going to continue to talk about the dragon, right? And the dragon, the first person of the unholy Trinity, the deceiver. He's called Apollyon, the destroyer. You know, he destroys lives. He destroys marriages. He destroys relationships. He destroys, people, you know, they get caught up in drug addictions and alcoholism. He's the destroyer. He's the wicked one. He's the tempter, right? That's one of the beautiful things about the millennial. When we get into the millennial and Satan is bound, there will be no temptation. You know, there will be absolutely no temptation at all. We don't have to worry about being tempted to overeat or being tempted to do something immoral, right? The tempter will be removed, Satan, the accuser of the brethren, right? He just waits for us to stumble. And then he goes back to God and he accuses us when we stumble. The angel of light, marvel not that the devil can be transformed to an angel of light. You know, that old Hallmark greeting, he cares only enough to send the very best. You know, he's not going to come with a red suit, pointed ears, a tail, and a pitchfork. You know, we think of the man on the hot sauce bottle, right? You know, he's not coming like that. That when he comes as an angel of light, and again, deceiving. A murderer. Jesus said that he's a murderer. And you know, again, you know, I got a theory. I got a call. The mayor is calling people of faith to come to his office so they could talk about how to address all these murders going on in the city. And sadly, I'm not able to go. I wish I was. But this is what I would say. Right. This is what I would say. You got to bring God into the lives of these people that's doing all this murdering. Right. And they might, if they don't want God, they don't want God. That's another thing. But if you're talking about, you know, catching the kids and dealing with kids, you got to bring God into their life, because I believe that all these people that are killing people, and I'm not going to say everyone, I'm going to say 99.9% of them, that they don't have a conscience of God. They don't have a knowledge of God. How can you just go take somebody's life? You know, if you have a God conscience, you know, you're compassionate, you're sensitive to your fellow man, you honor life. But when you don't have a God consciousness, you don't honor life. You can just go and, it's just like the young man that when they were leaving my granddaughter's birthday party, right? And they got in their vehicle and another couple individuals just rode by, got out and just shot up the car, just shot it up, right? Shot it up and killed one young man in there, right? How can, where does that come from, Saint? You can write me and you can send me emails or text or whatever. But you can't convince me otherwise that this comes from no place else other than the devil, because he's a murderer. And so I think that we got to get God in these kids' life. You know, we can come up with all kind of programs, right? All kind of community programs. It's like I said, I've been a pastor at Bethany since 1990. From the time I hit Bethany Baptist Church, and some of you who were here in the 90s, you know what I'm talking about. There was gangs and they were killing people. There was drug deals and people were being killed. People were being killed in the 90s, and Saints, they still continuing in 2023. But what I've seen is kids that have come up through the church. Now, I'm not saying that all of them were saved. I believe that most of them were saved, right? I believe most of them were saved. But all of them come up whether they're saved or not. And you know what they have? They have a God conscience that somewhere You know, some of the older saints taught them the stories of the Bible and taught them that there was a God and put God in their mind, put God in their spirit, right? And so they have a God conscience. And so most of the kids that have, and I'm just going to say Bethany, because Bethany is the only church I know. Just think about some of your kids and where they are now, right? If they came through Bethany, if they came through the church, right? If they came through the church, somebody's church, where God was being taught, where Christ was being lifted up, right? They generally have gone on to become productive citizens in our society, right? So, you know, that's my theory. And if I was going to be at that meeting tomorrow, that's what I would have said. But I'll get my message through another way. He's a roaring lion, right? He's that old serpent. What does that mean? When it calls him the old serpent, you put on your Bible hats, right? The old serpent, that means back in the Garden of Eden, right? That old serpent, he appeared as a serpent. He's the enemy. He's Beelzebub. Actually, that word Beelzebub means the prince of flies, right? The prince of demons. Belial, he's the vile and ruthless one. And so we see that he is characterized in many ways, but today we are looking at him as the dragon, right? We are looking at him as the dragon today. Now, what are some beliefs about Satan? Well, some people believe that he's a myth. They think that he was just conjured up as some type of fairy tale. And so, you know, some people who were trying to scare other people, that they said that, you know, there's this evil character called the devil. And so now, you know where that comes from, right? You know where that comes from, right? Somebody says he's a myth. That comes right from the mouth of Satan. Because that's what Satan wants you to believe. He wants you to believe that he's a myth. And then some people say, well, he's really not a person, but he's the personification of evil. Which, you know, I would say there is some truth to that. He is the personification of evil, but, you know, he's a real being. He is a real individual. And don't let anybody tell you anything else, because there's a lot of stuff going around today trying to explain Satan away. And again, they try to explain him away by saying that he was a myth, by saying that he is a personification of evil, right? But we know better than that. We know that he's real. And I like what D.L. Moody said, right? D.L. Moody said, I believe Satan exists for two reasons. First of all, the Bible says so. And second, I've done business, right? So how many of you have done business with him? When I say I'm not being on his side, but how many of you have had encounters with the devil, right? It might have been through somebody on your job, or it might have been through another family member. It might have been through some circumstances that came into your life. But we've all done business with the devil, right? He's attacked us. He's tried to bring guilt trips on us. So I like what D.L. Moody says. You know, he says, I believe Satan exists for two reasons. First of all, because the Bible says so, and then because he did business with him. And so again, I'm sure that all of us on this Zoom Bible study today, we can say in some shape, form, or another that we've all done business with the devil. You know, we've had him approach and attack our lives. So the devil is real. You know, we sing that song, God is real. He's real in my soul. Yes, God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. My love for him is like pure gold. My God is real, because I can feel him in my soul. So we know God is real. And you know what? Satan is real, because I'm gonna show you in a second how we know that he's real, and probably for many of us from personal experience. Let's look at real quick the origin and beginning. Okay, before the devil fell, his name was Lucifer. Right. And the word Lucifer means morning star. So his name is taken from the Latin, and it means he was a light bearer, right? Wow. Somebody asked a question, why did God create the devil? Saints, do you know the answer to that question? All of us should know the answer to that question. So you remember what I'm getting ready to tell you, right? God didn't create the devil. God created Lucifer. And Lucifer was a beautiful, you notice that his name, morning star, right? Morning star, light bearer. You know, he was, well, let's go on and look at some things. He was identified, he was a created being. So God created him. God created him. In Ezekiel 28, it says, in the day that you were created, right? It says, from the day that you were created, talking of Lucifer, that he was created by God. Lucifer was created by God. And notice this, saints, in Ezekiel 28, he was perfect in wisdom. He was perfect in beauty. He was perfect in music. Some people believe that he was the heavenly choir director, that in him originated music. He was perfect. So he was perfect in every way, Ezekiel 28, 15. So when somebody says, why did God create the devil? Or why did God create Satan? God didn't create Satan. Notice God created Lucifer, a being that was perfect in wisdom, perfect in beauty, perfect in music, perfect in every way. That's the individual that God created. And notice that, where was he at? He had access to the presence of God. He was in the garden of God. He was in Eden. That he dwelt in Edom. He had access to the very garden of God. He was on God's holy mountain, the place where God resided. He had access to God, and he had access to the sanctuaries of God. You think about the sanctuary, the temple, the place where God met with the people, that Satan had access, or Lucifer had access to the very presence of God. He was powerful. He was called the anointed cherub, which is a designation for a powerful angel. But sadly, his heart was lifted up because of his beauty, and he corrupted his wisdom because of his beauty. And so he was a very prideful individual. Why was he prideful? Because of his perfection in wisdom, in beauty, in music, every way, his perfection and his access to God. And he these things caused him to become proud. And notice this. We go back to Isaiah 14, and he wanted God's residence, right? He said, I will ascend into heaven, right? Like I'm going to be right there where God is at. He wanted God's rule. In Isaiah 14, you know, verse 13, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Satan wanted to rule over the stars of God, or another word for the stars of God, the angels. He wanted rule. He wanted God's rule. He wanted God's recognition, right? He said, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. The size of the north was a poetical expression for the power and preeminence. Ancient people believed the north was the highest part of the earth. He wanted God's recognition. He wanted to be recognized instead of God. He wanted God's radiance. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, is what he said. The clouds represent glory. And Lucifer wanted the glory of God. He wanted God's rank. I come on every Wednesday, and what do I say? Saints of the Most High. Well, Lucifer, he wanted that rank. He wanted Pastor Glaze, when he came on Wednesday afternoon, and he says, Saints of the Most High, he wanted Pastor Glaze to be referring to him and not to the God of the universe, right? The Most High God, El Yon. Now, sometimes I call y'all saints of El Yon, right? Well, it means the same thing. The Most High God, who was the possessor of heaven and earth. And so Satan, Lucifer, he wanted to be like God. And then we see he fell, okay, that he was kicked out of heaven. And Revelation 12 in verse 4 tells us, and his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to earth. And so when Satan fell out of heaven, he took a third part of the stars with him. And who were the stars? They were angels, right? So all these angels, a third of them followed Satan. Now, when you think about God's creation of angels, God created an innumerable amount of angels. You know, I mean, there's just so many that you can't even count them. But to think that when he fell, a third of that group went with him. But you know, the good thing is that there's two thirds that stayed with God. So, you know, they got the evil ones outnumbered 2-1. All right. So when the dragon, so it refers to the dragon, and it says that the dragon fell from heaven. So again, who is the dragon? The dragon is Satan, all right, the devil. And when he fell, he took a third of the angels with him. What are some of his activities? What's he doing now? First of all, he opposes God's program. When you think about the parable of Matthew 13 of the wheat and the tare, right? So where there's wheat growing, what does he do? The enemy goes in and sows tares among them. And so saints, that's why, man, we can't let the devil come between us. You can't let the devil work in your life and cause you to, you know, have odds with another saint, because that's his program. You know, whenever two saints argue, and whenever two saints, you know, stop speaking to each other and they stop fellowshipping, then you know what's happened? Yeah, I'm just going to be honest with you. You've let Satan have the victory. You've let the dragon have the victory, because he's trying to oppose everything that, you know, when you're involved, you know, it kills me, man, when you see people involved in ministry and they start bickering and they start, you know, arguing, because what have they done? They've let Satan come in and cause disruption, you know, and that's why I thank God for. And again, I know we have people on here other than Bethany people, but in my, you know, going on 33 years of pastoring at Bethany Baptist Church, you know, we've seen our share of conflict, but I would say for the most part that, you know, people are trying to, you know, be submissive to the word of God. And so generally, you know, people want to work through things because they want to glorify God, right? But there have been those times when people have allowed the devil to get the best of them. And because one of his activities is opposing God's program. And so they let the devil get in there and tear up ministry, you know, tear up relationships. And so we need to be on the lookout for God. For God's. Forgive me for that. We need to be on the lookout for Satan. We need to be on the lookout for God too, right? You know, we need to see God working in our life. He is seeking to devour people. It says that 1 Peter 5:8, he's going around like a roaring lion seeking who he can devour.
Thank you for joining us today on In Kirk and Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of the Holy Trinity. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Unholy Trinity, you can contact us at inkirkandjesus.org and request The Unholy Trinity from our Bible Prophecy Series, or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Bible prophecy is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Galaise and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.